Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May. A podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk. Tonight we have the pleasure of having Johnny Smith as our guest, and we're all excited. Welcome, Johnny.
Oh, thank you for having me, Anna.
Welcome, Johnny.
Martha,
we're thrilled
Uncle
to have
Bill.
You.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
All right. Bill's going to give you the first question.
Okay, here's the biggie. When did you get saved? And what brought you to the decision of accepting Jesus the Christ, your Savior? Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful question. How much time you have?
All the time you need.
I'm just kidding.
All you want.
I know what he meant.
I do too.
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually remember the exact date that I give my heart to the Lord. It was November 17th, 2003. And I had just turned 18. It was a couple months being 18. And the backstory to the how it led up is most people know my mother and father, Eddie and Mary Smith. He's a pastor at Cornerstone Ministries alongside with Pastor Ham Parker and Pastor Billy McKenzie. Mm-hmm. And born and raised in church, like most of our people, most of our young ones, I don't remember not going to church. I went to... went to a Christian school called Faith City, and was always just around the Word of God, around ministers, and my mother and father taught us the Bible and taught us scriptures as we was raised up.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Like most young men do, around my 13 and 14 years, I started rebelling and straying from the things of God.
Amen.
You know, would go to church services and revivals, and I like to think of myself as a spiritual roller coaster. I'd be up, then I'd be down, up and down.
Amen.
And like most young people do, they get with the wrong crowds, and you end up talking like you're not supposed to be talking, acting, thinking, etc. And you just end up going the wrong way. You leave the straight and narrow path. You leave the way that's shining, and you start to stray to the darkness.
Amen.
And I'd say around 16 and 17 year old, I was in all out rebellion. Now, I never had a drinking problem, never had a problem with drugs or anything like that. Would go to play chore away because my mom and dad was all about the Lord. You know, you try to chore away and go to places you wasn't supposed to go with unsafe people.
Amen.
But my mother and father always told me the way, you know, always told me the truth and the gospel, and this is the way, you know.
Amen.
This is the way you should live, son. And you know, fear God, and you know, and Amen. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And they tell you straight up and down, you know, fire and brimstone.
Amen.
You know, God's not a respecter of persons. They didn't sugarcoat nothing for me.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And you know, anybody that loves you will tell you that. You know?
Amen. Praise God.
But the question was, when I got saved. Well, going into about 17th year. 16, 17, I had no more conviction. My whole life I had conviction. You know, if you talked inappropriate or you was in some place, I always felt that conviction. I can remember going with the boys down the boardwalk one time down at the beach and everything. And no matter where I was at, someone was always going to hand me a track and witness to me out on the street, you know, and that's the last thing I wanted to hear at that moment,
Amen.
You know, but it was just always, the Lord was always tapping me in my shoulder my whole life. And it, no matter how far I went, I could hear that still small voice always calling me back, always drawing me.
Praise God.
And around 16 and 17, I have to say, was the worst shape I've ever been spiritually in my inner man, to where I was so hardened, so callous, so rebellious that I'd lost that conviction. I was just numb and callous. And that's my honest state. And the reason why I say that is in November 17th, around that time frame, that same year of 2003, a brother, a cousin of mine named Daniel Stanley, he's married to Ham Parker's daughter, Hazel mm-hmm. Stanley.
Amen. Yeah.
And we're about the same age, probably a month between us. But he had started serving the Lord probably a little earlier on, 14 and a half, 15-year-old. And he had went through hardships and trials and different things. He almost lost his brother to a drunken car accident. I think brother-in-law Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy, shared that with one of his testimonies, how his older brother got in one car accident after the other and was actually dead on arrival when they helivacked him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So at a young age, he's seen where that lifestyle led, and he's seen how Satan was seeking to rob, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
His eyes was open at a young age, and he just submerged himself in the Word of God. He submerged himself in the Bible and prayer and just anything to do with the church. Anytime the church doors was open, he was there. He just
Amen.
Was,
Amen.
You know, he just was full, sold out for the Lord. And, but over those years, I'd see him in passing, high and by, whatever. But out of nowhere, this year, 2003, his whole family, his dad come in one day with no heads up, whatever, said, you know what? We're going to sell our place. We're going to move to Delaware. And they was up in Pennsylvania. And just out of the blue like that, they picked up and moved to Delaware. And with this, just in a few weeks, there was something different. There was something different about him. And he never preached to me. He never told me what I was doing wrong. To be honest with you, I didn't know he was a Christian like that or as serious he was. You know, I guess we're all kind of, I want to say, what's that word, inoculated. We're all kind of, you know, right. numb and desensitized. Yeah. Well, because we're born and raised in church, and like we've heard it all before, but this was yep. different. And all I could say is, just a few weeks, everything he said, I hung on every word. Everything he didn't say, I noticed. Everything he'd done. When he walked into a room, he got my attention. All I could think was, you know when Stephen, in the book of Acts, was speaking to the Sanhedrin, and it said his face shone like an angel, and they couldn't resist the words he was saying. He had a glow about him. He had a
Praise
shine
God.
About him.
Praise God.
And there was something about his presence that demanded reverence, and it was the Lord in his life. And he Amen. Was serious with God, and everything he said and done, I took serious. And I come to find out that what was something that was in my face all along was he really knew Jesus. He really knew them. He knew the master.
Amen.
He had spent time with him, and he had a real living relationship with the maker
That's
of
good.
Heaven
Amen.
And earth.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And,
Praise God. Beautiful.
And when I can remember, I had been going through some things back and forth. My dad was on me. I'd come in. He got wind that I went to a worldly concert. This is weeks prior, and I come in and he got wind. I don't even know how he knew, but the Lord always told him. But he rebuked me. He rebuked me, you know, when I come in the house. Listen, I'm not going to stand for that. You know, if you want to be a man, you can do that somewhere else. He was setting the ground rules. Let me know. You're not going to do it in here.
Right.
And
Amen.
He was just, you know, he just.
Being a father.
I knew where he stood. Being a father.
Amen.
Being a father. And,
Amen.
And. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed. I'm so ashamed. I've never been so ashamed. It was just kind of an accumulation over the years of little subtle things that I didn't think was no big deal. But my dad had never said that to me. My dad, I've never been disappointed. He's always been supportive and encouraging and all that. But he was genuinely, you know, disgusted with me. And I started thinking and I was lodged for myself. And I realized the
Amen.
First time I started feeling conviction and, spending time, fast forward back, spending a few weeks with Daniel.
Amen.
Around November 17th, 2003, I come in home one night, and my dad noticed that everything I said was Daniel this, Daniel that, Daniel this, but it was the Lord in Daniel's life. And the Lord really used Daniel to reach me. He shined his light. And for one instance, we was all riding somewhere, and there was one fellow that wasn't in church like we was and wasn't saved, and he was speaking the worst language, the worst profanity and cursing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we rode from where we started to where we ended at, and when he parked the vehicle and turned the truck off, he looked over and he said, I've been in some rough places, Daniel said, and I've been around some rough people. He said, I've been around hired men. He said, I've been around unsafe people. And he said, I've never heard so many curse words and foul language in my entire life.
Amen.
When he said it was like a slap in the face, because I didn't even hear it.
Hmm.
I was completely insensitive. I was completely desensitized, just blinded. And when he said it, I remember George Pepper was in there. We was all mortified and laughed, like, sure enough. And he began right in front of us, starting to witness to this boy that wasn't raised in church like us. And he started testifying. And the boy kind of called him on it, was kind of annoyed. And, you show me in the Bible where it's wrong to curse. And he said, Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of a man's mouth.
Amen.
This defiles. I could just, it's like a recording. I can remember the whole scene.
Amen.
And God started dealing with me. And back to the date, November 17th, 2003, I got by my bed one night and I kneeled down and I said, Lord, if that peace and contentment that I see in Daniel's eyes is real, I want it.
Amen. And praise God.
Amen.
I said, Lord, if this is real, I want it. I want to know you like Daniel knows you. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. And
praise God.
And this time was different than any other time that I had come to an altar or had been witnessed to or cried out of conviction or fear. Who knows? You know, sometimes most people just want fire insurance.
Amen.
But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be heart knowledge. It's got to be, we have to love the Lord with all our heart. And this time was different because I started reading the Bible and it changed my life.
Amen.
It completely reshaped the way I thought, the way I acted, the way I talked, the way I worked. It became my daily bread, and I began to survive on it every day of life.
Amen.
And I just, and at that, when I, the more I got into the Word of God, the more I could feel like roots take sink down into where the Holy Spirit would start producing fruits of the Spirit and fruits of righteousness in me, and a character that wasn't my own, but it was someone else's, and the Lord radically started changing my life.
Amen.
And 2 weeks after that, Jimmy Townsley, my brother-in-law, opened the first men's meeting that we had at the time. And we just began to talk about I started asking questions because I was reading in the book of Acts about the Holy Spirit and on the day of Pentecost. And then again,
amen.
John the Baptist's disciples come to him. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you first believed? And he said, we have not even heard of such a thing or the Holy Spirit that
Amen.
We should. And
Amen.
He laid hands on them. They began to speak with evidence of tongues. But I believe roughly around 2 weeks after I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. We was holding hands in a prayer group outside the carport of Cornerstone Ministries. And
praise God.
Jimmy broke away from the prayer group and anointed the doors. And he said, Lord, let the first people that come in here receive the Holy Spirit the next service. When I hear that, my ears go up, and I run over.
Amen.
All I could say is, safe as a child, I guess. And I just touched the door, and I started speaking in an unknown tongue.
Praise God.
And started just speaking, and something filled me, and it was like electricity in my whole body, so I could describe it. And since that moment, I've never been the same. That
Praise
radically
God.
Changed me.
Amen.
It radically,
Amen.
Radically changed.
That
me.
Was radical. That was.
The
Love
big
it,
difference
man.
There Amen. Was you knew of him. You knew of him. But then you knew him.
That Amen.
Was and that was the
Amen.
Change.
That was
knowing
Amen.
Of
well,
Jesus,
well
but then knowing him.
Amen.
And feeling that relationship. Amen.
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 Praise be
Amen.
To God. That's a beautiful test.
It was.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Do you Praise remember God. The first person that you brought to the Lord or witnessed to?
It's interesting. Throughout my life, the Lord had placed me in front of people, and I began to talk to them about the Lord. But the first person to say, per se, that exact person, I can't. All I can say is, we just started telling everybody.
Amen.
You know, Country Hansel,
everywhere.
Travelers, Romney, whoever they were, we just couldn't stop telling. We'd be at the street. We'd be at the red light, and we start testifying of the goodness of the Lord, how he can change anybody, and God can make you a new person in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it just, we was very, very basic, you know.
Right.
We was like, you know, Daniel would always say, he was like, John the Baptist, repent.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
That's the same good spirit. Message,
yeah.
That's the same spirit.
We would, and we would just tell, you know, there, I pave driveways for a living. I'm an asphalt paving contractor. And you'd be up at the asphalt plants and these big old rough, you know, quite savory fellas driving the trucks and all that. And I just find myself with a boldness from the Holy Spirit because it was different. Because I just felt this supernatural boldness because I'm naturally a shy person. I'm very loud, but a boldness that would just bubble up out of me. And I'd start talking to these people right
praise
under the scale for blacktop laying hands on people. One man telling me he had cancer in his leg and laying hands on him. And weeks later that I'd run into him, he told me that he was healed. Like,
praise
this,
God.
It was amazing. Like just events like that, wherever we went, whether it was in a McDonald's, whether it was at the movie theater, we just start talking to people about the Lord. And, you know, the Lord just radically changed that.
Amen.
That part of our personality, what was just bold, you know, and that was from the Holy Spirit. But
amen. Any standout moments in your walk that you'd like to share, or any move that has impacted you?
There's so many. There's so many. You know, one time I was, I'm gonna share a couple times if I can, something that stood out.
Do whatever you want.
I'd like to tell you some good times, and I'd like to tell you some bad times that had brought a lot of good into my life. And some good times, just a moment, just sharing the good news with people. If anybody's ever done that, and I believe most people on this, as I'm speaking to, has, there's that overwhelming joy and peace and presence of God in your life. You're just bubbling over. There's nothing that compares to that feeling of sharing the words of life, words that has the power to change somebody from the inside out, and to save them for eternity. You know, it's something amazing. And, you know, one fella comes to mind. I live in a small town in Delaware, and I passed the gas station one time, and I seen a fella driving a hearse, but he had it all kind of souped up and hot rodded and everything. And I pulled up behind him, and I'm getting gas, and I just giving him the good news. And he has many piercings and dreadlocks and tattoos all over, and, you know, just quite a character. And I'm coming over, and the Lord touched my heart. I'm not judging this person. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I don't know where this man's been to and the things he's gone through. So the Lord's changing me from the inside out like that. He softened my heart. And I'm talking to this young man. I remember his name was Snoop. He referred himself as Snoop. And I'm just talking to him about the Lord. But as I'm talking to him, it was just like I was speaking Chinese.
Yes.
And he's just kind of looking at me. All of a sudden, he leaned back, and I mean to tell you, this young man looked like death warmed over. And he's just slumped there. He looks like a zombie of a person, just lifeless. And he's sitting there, and he's kind of got a half stare, and he's looking. And all of a sudden, he said, what does John 3:16 mean? He said, I see it everywhere I go. What does John 3:16 mean?
Amen.
And I said, I said, oh, my friend. and I opened up the scripture.
Bingo.
Me and him were touching shoulder to shoulder, and I began to read it. Me and him was reading it, and I had Dad's little Cambridge Bible with a lambskin, kind of like a carry Bible. And I'm showing him, I said, for God so loved the world. I said, that's you and I.
Amen.
I said, that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only begotten son. I said, that's Jesus Christ. He said, the guy on the cross. He said, that's him. I said, he died for your sins, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, God loves you. You need to know that, Snoop. And when I said that, I said he looked like death warmed over.
Yeah.
I seen life enter this person's body.
Praise
he
God.
Believed. Praise I seen God. It right there, like a spark in his eye. He believed what I was telling him.
Praise God.
And he received it. And I said, would you like to receive the Lord? Make Jesus Lord of your life and make him your Savior. He said, absolutely. And he accepted the Lord right there. And he began to jump up and down and started saying, hallelujah.
There you go.
I've looked for this my whole life. And he was just vibrating. And it was just something, you know, what touched me was the whole world is wondering and they're waiting for somebody to tell them what John 3:16 means.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was my conclusion.
Yeah. What is John 3:16? We take it for granted. My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, we take it for granted. If we could just be faithful over that, oh my goodness, the Lord will do so much.
Yeah.
The Lord will do so much. People, I think we overcomplicate the call and the God
Amen.
Of Christ in every belief. You know,
Amen.
We're all able-bodied ministers in the New Amen. Testament. We overcomplicate. If we can just plant one seed, you know, God will give the increase. And I just want to encourage somebody today, if the cat's got your tongue, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you boldness. Because that's what the apostles did. If that's what the disciples done. And they got results from it. And God is so good. He's so faithful. You know, another standout time is not long after we first got saved, we was that following summer, because that was the fall. So going into the spring and into the summer, we said a couple weeks out, we're going to 4th of July. Last year I was there and I didn't have the Lord on my mind. I'll just put it that way. We was just there for other reasons, anything but the Lord. And this year, God radically changes coming up to the 4th of July. And we said, we're just going to witness. We're going to stand on the boardwalk and we're going to witness. We're going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
So we fast, we pray, and we're so excited. Here's the day of, and we don't have no gospel tracts. Like I thought somebody had them or we could pass it to the Bible. We had no gospel tracts. We were so excited that we completely forgot to get tracts.
Amen.
And I said, you know, and we're talking to each other like, well, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. That's what, you know, because we're getting ready to leave.
Amen.
When I opened the door, we have our bags in our hand. We're walking out. I trips over a box that wasn't there when I walked in the house. There's a cardboard box, and it said 10,000 gospel tracts in the box.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'll never forget.
Praise God.
You'll probably see it. It says help from above and has a picture of a shepherd reaching down to a lamb caught in the thicket, almost falling off a cliff. And it has every topic under the sun with scripture reference.
Amen. No wonder. No wonder it had them all.
Well,
so there was no question. The answer is in there. And I said, we looked at each other in like disbelief. And I said,
Amen.
God's really going to move here.
Amen.
God's really. We get down there. We start passing. And we find, where do we set up shop at on this boardwalk? Here behind us is a sand sculpture that's about a story and a half tall. People made it the day before we got there. And here it's the Lord on the cross.
Wow.
With nails in his hands, and right beside it, the Ten Commandments.
We don't believe in miracles. Hold on, buddy.
And we set up shop there, and we sang one song all weekend. And it was, people get ready, because Jesus
Amen.
Is coming.
Praise God.
You know, you don't need no ticket. You just, all you need is faith.
Amen.
And we just started singing that, and we had good response. We had bad response, but we passed out tracks for 3 days straight.
Amen.
The whole time we were
Praise
there. God. And you'd wake up the next morning, and these 10,000 tracks, most of them was glued on the boardwalk. Like it was just, they was stuck there.
Yeah.
So nobody, if you look down, you're looking at a gospel track.
Amen.
And it was just many, you know, I can't remember the exact number, some 30 some salvations, and everybody listened. A lot of good response. People, other, you could see,
lots
was encouraging
of seed
other,
planet
other
there,
church
boy.
Groups.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lots of seed
Absolutely.
Planet. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. John 3:16 is the scripture that I received the Lord from. Billy Stanley was preaching in Houston. So praise God.
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
I got another question for you. How did you get into the ministry, and when and how did you feel called?
I have to honestly say my whole life that I can remember, I felt called.
Amen.
I can remember just before I got out of school, I was about 12 and a half, 13 year old. I got out of 13.
Praise God.
And I would always find myself, because in the Christian school that it was, there was a lot of people that wasn't saved that would be brought there.
Right.
And
yes.
Praise God. And so I find myself talking to people that come from troubled homes and had issues and stuff, you know. And I had such a burden, like such a tug at my heart to share with them with something. And
Praise
I got
God.
Beat up one time because The country people there knew what we was. They knew what we was. Yeah. So I got picked on by this older fella that I'm pretty sure he wasn't supposed to be there. He had a full beard. And I don't know. He looked like an adult to me. He just looked like he shouldn't have been there. But here he finds me. He beats me up, knocks me out. I gets up, and I'm mad. I'm looking for him now, like a lot of good I'm going to do. I should be running for my life. But anyways, a few days passed by. I hadn't seen him.
Amen.
I comes into the boy's restroom, and here he is standing by the sink. And I see him, but he don't see me. And I had, right off the bat, the Lord touched me. The Lord softened my heart.
Praise
and
God.
I said, whatever his name was, I said, listen, I come from a Christian home, and I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he can change you, and he can change anyone. And I said, I would encourage you to, listen, if God can forgive me, he can forgive you.
Amen.
And I said, I want you to know something today. I forgive you.
Oh, amen.
I forgive you.
Power.
Just something come over, and I had tears in my eyes. The boy had tears in his eyes. And I said, I forgive you. And that was like the first time that I felt a call, and I started giving him the gospel.
Amen.
And he must have felt awkward. He didn't receive the Lord there, but he walked out, and we never had problems ever. Again, later on, you find out that Chabby had, this young man had lots of problems, home problems and stuff.
Sure.
And so who knows? But yeah, Uncle Bill, you asked me, when was I called into the ministry? Specifically where I felt the call and God transformed, kind of turned the page on my life was not long, maybe about 6 months or so after, maybe longer. When I first received the Lord, I was out to work one day and I'm so joyful. I'm irritating everybody. I'm irritating all of our employees, all the higher. They can't stand me. I'm too jolly. I'm extra corny, you know. And I can't stop singing songs about the Lord and testifying and high-fiving everybody, and they're just growling at me. And I'm paving a driveway with my dad and my brothers and most of our employees that we've known since I was a little kid. And I have a what they call an asphalt lute in my hand. It's for leveling and finishing as you're going.
Amen.
So I'm packing the edges of this driveway, and I'm going down this big driveway, and we're working out there. And I hear over and over again in my head a Bible verse that I don't remember ever reading. And it was a simple verse. But I hear it over and over again in my head. So I'm going down, and I keep hearing it over and over in my head. Finally, I start speaking it out loud, what I'm hearing, and it was, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him."
Amen.
So I get to the end of the driveway, and I said, "Dad, this sounds like a Bible verse." I keep hearing it over and over in my head, and I said, I just keep saying it over and over. I just keep muttering it in my spirit. And Dad said he opened up, he had a Bible in his pocket, and he opened it right up, and he said, Psalms 34, verse 8.
Amen.
And I don't remember ever reading it. I not to memorize it like a Bible person. I hear this, and I wonder what the Lord's trying to say to me. The next day, I was asked to preach for the first time at Ministries for Christ by Aunt Sophie and her sister Jean. And they said, the Lord laid it on our heart that you have a word for the church.
Amen.
And I said, that's the Lord give me a word. And he even gave me an illustration that evening from it. As I'm walking through the mall, I see the Chick-fil-A out with their samples.
Amen.
And they're passing them out to people.
Amen.
And the word that the Lord gave me for our people was just sample him.
Amen.
A little's a lot with God.
Praise God.
Amen. Faith
and see that the Lord is good, and blessed, happy, one to be envied is that person who puts their trust in the Lord,
Amen.
That relies on him, that rests in him.
Praise God.
And that was Amen. The word God gave me for our people. I just want, listen, everybody, you know who I am, where I've been, but I just want you to sample him. Because if you sample him, you'll buy the whole thing.
Amen.
You'll want the whole thing.
Amen.
And that was
Amen.
A simple message.
It's a blessing.
And that was the first time. And, you know, from then on, God opened the door for me wherever I went. People would just start calling me from... you know, they would just, the Lord would lay it on their heart, and God would open a door for me. And we just started going in the ministry. And, you know, out of that move of God, I believe around five ministers come out of the same move of God when I got saved.
Amen.
Daniel Stanley become a minister not long after that, ordained, you know, licensed minister.
Yeah.
And then myself, Henry Evans, the captain.
Amen.
Eddie Mullins.
Amen.
And who's now a co-pastor with me and Pastor Jimmy Townsley up at Edders, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of the last one escapes me, but there was five.
George Pepper, maybe?
George Pepper. Yep. Amen. George Pepper.
Praise God, huh?
And God. And the Lord just started opening up doors, Bill.
Yes.
And
praise God.
And that was really the first time that I heard God speak to me. Now a lot of people think you're crazy for that. I can't explain it. I knew what I was hearing.
Oh, I knew
what was information was passing my mind, and it was registering. I could hear it, you know. And that's what he said in Revelation. He says, "Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches." Every church. I believe Jesus is speaking more now than he ever has.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
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 But we have to have ears. We have to tune in. We have to be plugged in to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And to hear what he has to say.
Amen.
We're his mouthpiece on the earth.
Amen.
We get the honor and the privilege to present him to the world. We're ambassadors.
Amen.
For Christ, as Paul said.
That's it, son. The only way they'll hear about him is if we tell people about him.
Amen.
Amen.
How important do you think it is for your spouse to be supportive of you in ministry?
Immensely. It's absolutely vital, I believe, for a ministry.
That's a good
and
word.
For a minister.
Amen.
My wife, in our relationship, in our marriage, and I'm not just being modest, she's the strongest one. And she keeps me going. She keeps pointing me in the right direction. You know, when we fall in the Lord's direction. When we get down, you know, the Lord picks us up. And I don't think I would last as long in the ministry if my wife wasn't behind me. And God has helped me through everything.
Amen.
But, you know, I have met other people where their wife discouraged their ministry and kind of hindered them in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very fortunate and blessed to have a God-fearing wife that loves the Lord as much as I do.
Amen.
And, you know, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they agree?
Six.
And it's in the Word of God. And, you know, I encourage young men to get married. That's not to discourage people, because he defines a wife, finds a good thing, the Bible says, and obtains favor of the Lord. I believe you should be married. And, you know, especially around our circles and people, I think it's very wise, you know.
Praise God.
Yes.
Definitely. I have another question for you, if you feel up to it. What is your vision for the church and our people in the future?
I think the number one vision is to make disciples, and not just to, you know, hand them a Bible and send them on out, but to take time to be hands-on. And I see a lot of Bible colleges popping up amongst our circles and our fellowships.
Amen.
And I think that's the start of it. I think that's the start to where we have people grounded and settled in the truth.
Amen.
Built up in faith, hope, and love. And
praise
I don't
God.
Just want Bible thumpers.
Amen.
I want fruit-bearing Christians. That's
Amen.
The key.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
By this, shall all men know you are my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So true.
My vision is fruit-bearing Christians
Amen.
Planted by the rivers of water. That's
Amen.
My vision.
That's good.
I have visions of what you're doing now, podcast, visions
Amen.
Of Christian song labels. I want to see that aspect of it to where the light is shining through the darkness, wherever that may be, whatever platform that is.
Amen.
Amen. You know, naturally,
praise God.
I would like to see more. I'd like to see other aspects of ministry. You know, people to stretch their legs and to step out of the boat, and just a brief testimony of leaving your comfort zone. I'd like to see people leave their comfort zone.
Is
what I'd like to see for our people and as a future. A few years back, I guess May 3rd, 2015, Jimmy and I had started pastoring a church. And my testimony simply is this. It isn't like I've had people ask is, how did you do this? How did you start? And I can't say, oh, I'm so smart and I did this and that, A, B, C, X, Y. I can't. No, all this is the, and I'm not being modest, but this is simply the gospel truth of what happened is the Lord simply opened doors and I just walked through them.
Amen.
That's it.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's it.
Good. All of my testimony, how God allowed us to start a church and a ministry that's thriving. The Lord is bearing fruit amongst these people.
Amen.
Other ministers has grown up amongst them and they're already growing and maturing because the Lord's in it.
Amen.
And He opened the door and we simply walked through it is the only testimony that I could say.
That's
but there's too many people in their comfort zones. If they would just step out of the boat.
Amen.
I noticed in that story when Peter stepped out of the boat, the Lord provided every step for him.
Amen.
It was only until he got his eyes off the Lord and started looking That's around right. him that he began to sink.
That's
he
it.
Didn't just drop, but he began to sink. And as he cried out, and as faithful as the Lord is, the Lord picks you up and takes you the rest of the way.
Amen.
Now,
praise God.
I'd be lying to tell you if I didn't cry out or get my eyes off him a time or two as I was attempting to step out of the boat, as I was attempting to go through that open door.
Yeah.
But the Lord is faithful, and the Lord has picked me up every single time. You know, we've had hardships over the years, and, I was telling you times, I said a good time in the Lord and then some bad times that could come out of it. You know, I've had sickness with my kids. Most of you know that over the years. I lost my girl back in 2018 and to sickness. And my son, Johnny's battling sickness right now. But the Lord has never left me.
Amen.
He's never forsaken me.
Praise
His presence, His joy. And, the closer you get to God, you can honestly, He charges you up. He picks you up. He puts wind in your sails and pushes you out in the right direction every day.
Amen.
And, when my Johnny was first, when we first found out that we had my second child, my Johnny.
Amen.
We had bad reports. This was a bad time that I believe good had come out of it because it changed me. They told us that he was going to be missing his left arm. He was going to be deformed. And so we're praying and we're praying and we're praying. All the way up to the day of his birth. Lo and behold, he's born. And I looked down and we didn't get a miracle there. You know, his arm was his deformed and I could see it. And my wife looked at me and she said, is he okay? I said, he's beautiful, babe. He's beautiful. He's gorgeous. And, I leave the operating room and I goes into the change room to take off the doctor's gloves. And I don't even know why I'm sharing this with you, but if somebody's ever been in a low place, hopefully this will help you, look up.
Yes.
And as real as I'm talking to you right here, if you've ever seen an old horror film, I was never allowed to watch horror films, but there's been horror films where they come into a room and the door closes and there's the villain behind the door. All I could tell you is I walked in this room and I closed the door behind me and there was a dark, immense, evil presence in the room. And thoughts started flooding my mind that wasn't my own.
Amen.
It was satanic and unnatural. The thoughts of resentment, bitterness, anger, malice, hatred, all this poison started flooding my mind. Thoughts, blasphemous thoughts, all these things started entering my mind. And I thought of a scripture in Isaiah 59 where it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and buddy, he does. He floods in. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, or a translation is a barrier. And he said, he'll lift up a barrier.
Amen.
And he'll protect us from the enemy coming like a flood. And I'm grabbing my head, and I can't explain. I was so down. I was so depressed. I was such in anguish. But there was a real dark presence in that room. And I thought of maybe this with Paul's experiences to some degree, me on a smaller level, where he said that Satan sent messengers to buffet him. Maybe this was some kind of like corporal private fuck demon that just come torturing me. But it was real. It was a real presence attacking me, attacking my mind. And it was that, it was trying to draw something out of me. And this is what I'm experiencing. Like it was trying to get me to profess something. Is all I can tell you. And I'm looking, and I'm grabbing my head, going to my mind like a Rolodex, trying to find a scripture to hold on to. And I'm looking for encouraging scripture. I'm going through Psalms, going through Proverbs in my mind. And I'm going through all these, and I find myself somewhere around Job, out of all places.
Amen.
And it says, Job put his hands over his mouth. And I put my hands over my mouth. And I wanted, with every fighting every urge and every evil desire and carnal nature, I wanted the first thing to come out of my mouth to be praise to the Lord.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, you've given me a good life, and you owe me nothing.
God.
You owe me nothing.
Praise God.
But I owe you everything.
Amen.
I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord God Almighty, I praise your holy name today, and I thank you. And as I started professing praise and giving God glory, it was like the Lord come and grab me at that moment, and that evil left the room.
Amen.
And all that to tell you, it was like this: there was a dial on my chest that turned up another notch. It was like something amped up, like just like turned up in my life, and a deeper faith, a deeper love, a deeper devotion, a deeper walk with the Lord. Come on, and from that moment on, I've had a joy that's been unshakable.
Amen.
Had a peace
Amen.
That surpasses understanding and full of glory. I've had some part of me, like an indestructible characteristic, has been placed inside my heart.
Amen.
And from that moment on, I just give God the glory. He's carried
Amen.
Me through harder times than that.
Praise
and
God.
And I can just stand here today that the Lord is faithful. Hold on to Him.
Amen.
He's the Rock of Ages. And He'll never let you down.
God gave me a word when I first come in here, and now I know what it was for. It was simple. He said, when I am weak, He is strong.
Amen.
So let's bless the name of the Lord and praise for what He does in the weakness times. He gives us more strength than we ever thought was possible. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Johnny, the way it went, I believe that's the way this podcast was supposed to go. So we're just going to ask you this one last question and leave it to you to end us out. Do you have anything on a personal note you'd like to leave us with today?
On a personal note, the only regret I have is I didn't start serving the Lord sooner. I've been serving Jesus for 21 years.
Amen.
And my only regret is I didn't start sooner. Get into your Bible. Don't take it for granted that you see that Bible there that you walk by every day.
Amen.
The words will change you. The words are power. The words that God, as you plant it in, God will give the increase and it will save somebody. It will bring somebody back from a fiery hell. As Jude said, some save with a godly fear, brethren, literally pulling them out from the fire. And I want to encourage somebody, if you feel the call, answer.
Amen.
If you feel God calling and tugging your heart, just answer, swan
Amen.
Dive into Jesus, as my dad said.
Amen.
Just swan dive into Him.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's my best friend.
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Is my, I don't, that might sound corny, but it's the only way to express it.
Amen.
He's my best friend.
Praise
I,
God.
I talk to Him, and He listens, and He speaks to me. And when He speaks to me, He shakes me to the core. And it's just, it's like that old song, you know, I keep on falling in love with Him.
Over
you know,
and over.
Over and over again. You know,
Amen.
I just, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Don't hesitate, but give
Praise
Jesus
God.
Your all today.
Amen.
And if I could give a gospel message that, you know, in Mark 1, I believe around verse 15, when He was calling the disciples, He's saying, listen, come, I'll make you fishers of men. He said this, there was two things contingent upon. He said, repent and believe. And I simply want to encourage someone today, listen, turn from what you know you're doing wrong. The life you're living that is the opposite of the will of God. And simply, like faith as a child, believe.
Amen.
Trust in Jesus and surrender your life to Christ today. And you'll never be the same. And you'll never regret one moment of it. I give God all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Praise
well, Tony,
God.
We sure want to thank you for coming on and supporting our podcast, you know, with listening and doing this. And, you know, we love you and fully I literally was in tears today. You blessed me. I love what you said about Daniel and everything else. It just was an absolute blessing. And thank you so much.
To God be the glory. Amen. God be the glory. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you for being with us, Johnny. We love the podcast.
My pleasure, Martha. God bless you.
God bless you, John.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast, and remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free, and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.